All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Tuesday, November 19th of 2024, and looking ahead here, we have some NBA action. We have some NHL action on this Tuesday, so it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. We do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days and get your questions answered. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim up and let's jump into some questions that came in the Discord first, as always. So looks like our first question came in from Black Mamba. I did answer this one. We will take another opportunity to answer it on stream for anybody else running into a similar scenario. We got one from Jimmy. Two from Jimmy. And then one more from Sammy. All right. So we'll get started with these and then hit any additional questions that roll in afterwards. So let's get SaberSim up. And let's hit our first question. All right. I have a quick question. Is there a way to set pool of lineups to match exposures? Last night, I didn't realize it until my first late swap, but I had about 70% Mason Plumlee, although his ownership was only 4%. So one thing with this, right, is that Nurkic was ruled out after lock and Plumlee was announced as a starter. So that could be why you saw 4%, right? So if the slate locks, your my own source isn't going to auto update. So what you can do is you can click the gear icon and then there will say SaberSim ownership. And then there will be a second one that says SaberSim ownership live. You could change it. You know, if you're on flagship MME, you could change it from the live source will have the updated projections, right? So if Plumlee was 4%, that is one thing to consider when looking at those leverages, right? You want to have accurate, you want to be looking at the correct ownership. That way you can correctly inspect the leverages that you're seeing. Now, if you just want to manage your risk to this player, the easiest thing to do is just set a max exposure before the build. So like you mentioned, if you want to do this to your pool of lineups, you would set the max exposure and then click build. Or if you're already in built the lineups and then you set the max exposure, the build lineups will say rebuild lineups, and then you can just rebuild the lineups. It will take your max exposure into account up front and then apply it to your next set of lineups. All right, next question. When doing your builds, do you recommend doing all the lineups in one build or split in different builds? I play on FanDuel and do a combination of 150 and as many single game lineups as I can, staying within the profit plan, but sometimes feel like I have too many lineups and can't make too many unique adjustments. Okay. I run everything together and I like running everything together. It typically works out well for me, especially updating for news throughout the night, right? That could be a big challenge is if you have multiple builds, well, if news hits, you need to go and run multiple late swaps, right? So that could be really tough. Last night was like kind of a good example with Jalen Johnson getting ruled out like 11 minutes to game time after not being questionable in one of the last games of the night. And then Alex Len getting announced as a starter, Doug McDermott getting moved to the bench. You know, there was a lot of movement in projections for the Atlanta and Sacramento teams, very, very close to lock, right? So doing one build is hard enough, but doing two can be even more challenging. So the only time I would recommend doing multiple would be if you are using mini-max exposures. If you're using a lot of those, then you're going to want to split your single entries into a separate build and leave the mini-max exposures for the 20-max and 150-max contests. All right, one more question from Jimmy. When playing on FanDuel and you see you are getting 70% plus of a player, and even if you adjust your uniques, the amount doesn't go down. Maybe I missed the second part to this question. So there's two things with this, right? Number one is what's the player's ownership, right? You're getting 70%. He's not moving down. Well, how much leverage on the field do you have? Like, is this player 70% owned, right? Like, that's a consideration. I think that's something we saw yesterday with the Kings and like De'Aaron Fox being super, super high owned in a lot of contests, at least the ones I was playing, he was incredibly high owned, right? So, you know, you're getting 70%, he's not moving. Well, how much leverage do you have? You know, are you matching the field? Are you positive, right? The other thing is like, if you just want him to go down, right, just set a max exposure to whatever number you want and apply that. And once you apply that max exposure, it should go down. If you're kind of in the middle, right, like you don't really have an opinion, but you're doing the uniques and you're noticing he's not going down, maybe Saberstein just thinks that's a really good play, right? And maybe value opened up to that play after lock and the builder's just trying to get to a lot of them. So there's a number of reasons that the play could be really good. And the risk you're assuming by playing that player at that specific exposure, right? So kind of a personal question. Those are the ways I'm looking at it, right? Ownership, leverage, exposure. What is the player's value? Why is the player value? You know, did something happen where, you know, this player is like a clear and obvious value play? You know, is Wemby sitting tonight and Zach Collins is starting for him, right? We saw that fairly recently. And, you know, those plays, like, you want to get to them, right? They don't come all that often. Wemby's not going to miss that many games. And Zach Collins is stepping into a big role with a very low salary. So going to get a lot of minutes and usage. And you want to take advantage of those. All right. Question from Sammy. While using Contest Flashback and based on the review lineups, is it possible to add more builds toward the Contest Flashback for research purposes? And if it is possible, what will be the best approach? Thanks. Okay, so there's not a way to do this at the moment. So basically what Sammy's asking is like, hey, you know, can I build additional lineups, put them into the contest, and then simulate the contest again to see my new post-contest sim results or like hypothetical. I think it would be a good future update to Contest Flashback. So it is something that's come up before. It's something I mentioned to the team that we have logged. So a little further down in the queue than some of the other upcoming projects that we have. But I do think it would be nice to be able to build lineups, test them out in contests that I've already played and see how they do. All right. Those were our initial questions. Let me check Discord to see if anything else has rolled in here. which it hasn't. So we'll jump into a build review and take questions as they come in live here. So building lineups for today's NBA slate. Interesting slate. One game at every time, right? So 4 p.m. one game, 4:30 p.m. one game, 5 p.m. one game, 5:30 p.m. one game, 6:30 p.m., 7:30 p.m., right? So games are pretty spread out here. Could mean that, you know, late swap is definitely going to be important. Question, hey, brother, do you have a personal rule of thumb how heavy you will go on any given player in a slate using this slate, for example? Honestly, I'm okay playing 100% of anybody, right? It always goes back to the player's ownership, you know? So kicking off a build here. Lineups are finishing. Let's change this. Okay, so our sorting metric doesn't matter. I'm just going to use Sabre score. So say that, you know, we're right here in this build, right? And I scroll over. And I'm getting a lot of LeBron, a lot of Davis, Caruso, Bassey, right? A number of these players, right? So first thing I'm checking, right, is, okay, how owned are these guys, right? Okay, 34%, 33%. So what is 85%, right? Well, that's like 2.5x, you know? It is leverage on the players, but it's not like, what I would be concerned with is like, hey, LeBron's like 5% owned and I'm getting 85%. That's like extreme leverage, right? Like if I had, you know, Zaire Williams, who's 5% owned, you know, he's in 15% of my lineups. Like that looks fine. You know, it's like 3x's ownership. If he was, you know, way, way, way higher, I would be worried, right? So like a rule of thumb I personally use is like 2 to 3x a player's ownership, right? I think that's like a good exposure level to be at where you get good leverage, but you're not overexposed. So like LeBron at 35, you know, 2x is like 70, 2.5 is 85. So like, this is fine with me. So for me, it's less about the exposure number alone and more comparing it to some of the other things that I'm seeing here. Now, somebody asked me recently, they were like, hey, you know, what if a player is 1% owned? You know, do you want to get 2 to 3% of them? Well, in that case, you know, that's kind of an extreme example. I think it's okay to get, you know, closer to like 5%, 10% of that player, 15%, right? Where that it just doesn't multiply that well, multiplying by one. So if you want to do like 10% or something like that, I think that's cool. That's something that Spencer, who is Elusive Smoke, mentioned on his interview that Andy did, where it's like, hey, you don't need to have, you know, 100% of a 1% owned player. You can have 10% and still be in a great spot to crush the slate, right? So that's something that I'll think about. But with the players that I'm seeing right now, you know, nothing kind of concerning in my opinion, right? LeBron and AD are like the top two projected players on the slate. LeBron is $1,600 less salary than Luka is, and is projected for more, which it makes sense to me why we're getting these two players, right? Their values are really high. Their projections are really high compared to some of the other options here that we're seeing a little further down. So I don't mind it at all. But anyways, these are the type of considerations I would recommend making, right, when you're building your lineups. You want to verify some of these things, right? Hey, you know, am I getting so much exposure? You know, a name I saw that surprised me, right, was Bassey. Like, hey, why am I getting so much Charles Bassey? And then I go into the San Antonio. It's like, oh, Wemby is actually out today, right? Oh, that's super interesting. And I just used that example, and I didn't know that this was the case, right? But, hey, you know, there's a ton of value on the Spurs, right? It's probably worth, in my opinion, you know, digging into Collins versus Bassey a little bit more. Like, hey, you know, is one expected to play more than the other? Why are they both projected for about similar projection? You know, I would do some additional research and just say like, hey, you know, has Wemby missed before? If so, how did these players, how much playing time did they get, right? Like, those are all really good things to verify and check in these situations that don't happen that often. So the builder, you know, 49% Bassey, only 17% Collins. I would want to make sure that I'm comfortable with this, even though their ownerships are about the same. Like, hey, do I want to be under on Collins and over on Bassey when their pool percentages are about the same? The reason I think that we're getting this here is because playing more Bassey at lower salary probably helps you get to more AD and LeBron. But I want to make sure that both of these players are going to get in the game and are going to be worth playing at the end of the day, right? So that's a good thing to do here. Samuel said, when looking at teams for NBA, how much will you bump a team or game to make your core and let SaberSim pick the players from those games and slash or teams? I honestly don't really do this, right? So I might just be the wrong person to ask. I don't really play with like a core. I don't really use rules or minimax exposures at all. But I think you're coming at it from the right perspective where it's like, hey, you know, I've already bumped Luka 5 points and he's still not getting in my lineups. Am I wrong? Should I rethink this or should I keep going? Right? That is the right question to ask yourself ultimately here. So I think that, you know, if you're adjusting a player 2 to 3 points, that's usually a good adjustment. Where you're going to have some impact. You're not going to have a massive impact, at least on like some of these top guys, right? If you're doing 2 to 3 points on a 50 point projected player, it's a little bit different than doing like 2 to 3 points on a player projected for 19 points, right? That 19 is just going to have a bigger impact since the starting number is a lot lower. So consider that, right? Like maybe like 1 to 2 points for like some of those lower projected players. 2 to 3 points might be okay for some of these higher projected players. Although it depends why you're making the change. You know, do you think that, hey, you know, LeBron is projected for 37.8 minutes. I think he's going to play 35, right? For whatever reason, you know, Lakers are on a back-to-back. It's a big spread. I think Lakers get out early and LeBron sits so he can play more tomorrow, right? I have no idea if they play back-to-back, but I'm just giving a hypothetical scenario. So then, you know, you go in and you lower his projection to where he would be at if he were at 35 minutes. And maybe that's like a huge adjustment, right? Maybe that's 5 points. Well, you know, how high convicted are you in his minutes, right? Now this isn't just a, I think he does good, I think he does bad. This is a, I am making this change based on this number. And even though the number brings me 5 points down, I still think it's the right number, right? So that would be a situation where I'd be like, okay, you know, you want to go more than 2 to 3 points. It makes sense. Why, right? It's all about, does like the logic follow? All right, next question. How much do you tinker with I am personally doing trying to find situations where news is uncertain, right? Like I'll definitely spend some time looking at the Spurs today in that Bassey Collins situation. Similar situations in the past that come to mind are like Luke Kornet and Nemias Keita, if that's how you pronounce it, and like when they're both one of them is starting or both playing high minutes, like that's like a super random scenario. Or the Pelicans, when the Pelicans have like a 5-6 players out, you know, like models need data, right? And when there are less data points about how a situation is going to play, there's usually an opportunity to add some value there, right? And I've talked about this extensively. There is a entire YouTube video dedicated to my NBA research process, which you guys can find on the YouTube channel. And, you know, that's where I'm spending my time. I'm not looking really at correlation. Correlations are smaller in NBA and don't matter as much as sports. Like NHL or MLB or even NFL. And, you know, I used to set like a stacking rule, like, hey, use no more than X players from a team. I've gotten away from that. I just kind of trust SaberSim to do the right things there with it already understanding correlation. It's fine if you just want like a guardrail rule, like, hey, every team, no more than three players per team or something like that. It's totally fine. So, you know, I'm adding my value in one spot. That doesn't mean you have to add your value in the same. You could be adding your value in the correlation stacking area and not doing the projection, right? So there's always more than one road to victory and one path there, and you can figure out which way works best for you, where your skills are best multiplied, right? Like Tim Ferriss talks about, don't try to get incrementally better at something that you're bad at. Just find the thing that you're good at and try and, you know, hammer that and watch your results like multiply exponentially, right? So that's something like I think about from time to time, right? So that's a little tangent there, but those are the things I'd be thinking about. All right, so we're in this build. We have our lineups. Say we're doing a Saber score example, right? Everyone likes to see one of those every once in a while. The way I like to do it is I don't care too much about these default metrics. I mostly want to see average projection, especially if I'm using Saber score. I want to see whatever the last lineup in my set is. So it looks like I have 53 lineups here out of 500. And then I'm going to start. Well, first I'm going to sort by exposure. I'm going to start adjusting my min uniques, noting my average projection. So 305.44, I'm going to jump to three. So we were at 305.4, three uniques gets me to 304.9. That's fine. Four uniques, 303.4. Okay, approaching a little lower projection here. I want to note what lineup I'm at. So I'm at lineup 121 out of 500. So still good here, right? Trying to stay in like the top 25 to 50% of my pool if I'm using Saber score. Now, me personally, I would be fine here, right? I would be okay with playing this set of lineups. I think it's okay to go to five from here if you want to. Where now our last lineup is about 50% of the pool. Our top exposure is 69%, followed by 54, followed by 50. Caruso came down from like 70% to 50, if that makes you more comfortable, right? So if five speaks to you a little bit better, use five. If four speaks to you a little bit better, use four. But either one of those is a fine option, and I'd be ready to rock and roll and save my lineups. So that's what I would be doing if I were building NBA lineups on starter plan today. But taking a peek back in the Discord, no additional questions. So appreciate everybody tuning in. I will see you all tomorrow. Really quick, one from Sammy. I know when we are looking into pool after building lineups, we want to go with about 20%. How shall I consider when I use the filter of ROI greater than zero and it eliminates way more than 20%? Good question. So I talk about using like a rule of thumb of like filtering out 10 to 20% of my lineups for filters that I apply. ROI greater than zero typically will do more than that. I trust that just because the sample size is so big, you know, 100,000 contest sim sample size is a lot of data. And I think that the data is not too noisy, and I think it is very trustworthy. So if it filters out 50%, if it filters out more, I typically roll with it. You can lower it if you want, but I try to avoid playing negative sim ROI lineups at all costs. So those are my opinions there. But all right, everybody, appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you. Take care. Bye.